Well, are you guys ready for the Word of God? All right. We're in a series called Freedom. And some of you are like, why? Pastor, I am free. I'm an American. I got freedom of speech. And I am free to do what I want to do. The truth is, we live in a free country. But if we're honest, many of us are bound by something in our life. Amen. And why should we talk about freedom in the next 4 to 5 weeks? Because as people, including Christians, we have a way of turning our lives into prisons. As people, including Christians, we have a way of making our life or leading our life into prisons. Prison of addiction, prison of condemnation, prison of fear and anxiety, prison of depression, prison of escapism. I'm going to do a whole series on escapism, where you try to escape life because life is hard and you just want to escape. And people escape in many different ways. I remember there was a season in my life for about 3 years, maybe 2-3 years, where I wanted to escape. Have you ever drove close to your house and then you just want to keep driving? Just keep driving? That's an escapism. Have you ever wanted to just get in your truck and drive away, leaving everything behind? Because life just got too hard. You felt like you were in prison of yourself, of your problems, of your life. I remember that season. I wanted to take my fishing poles, a few other things, and I wanted to leave this town. I was a pastor of a growing church. I want to leave the church, and I love you guys. I'm glad I didn't. I wanted to leave my family. I wanted to leave my business and just drive as far as I could, thinking happiness is in my escape. I'm going to teach about escapism because a lot of people have, I talked to a man many years ago who told me, he said he would spend hours and hours watching pornography and he couldn't stop. I said, why would you do that? To escape. Some of you, maybe you play video games so long, and there's nothing wrong with video games. But you play them so long that hours and hours go by. And you're in a prison. Maybe some of you are addicted to like media and social media to where you can't stop looking at it. And you feel imprisoned of your Instagram, of your Facebook. You're in prison of your Snapchat. The prison of Snapchat. And so although we live in a free nation, many of us are in prison. Emotionally and spiritually. And so that's what this series is all about. It's about setting the captives free. And as I'm preaching right now, you're probably thinking what the prison is for you. Now, let's talk about freedom, because we're going to talk about freedom a lot in the next 5 weeks. Freedom is something we all want. We fight wars for freedom. Much blood, the most blood has ever been spilled, is for freedom. Even a dictator says, we're for freedom of our people. Under communism, that's all we heard. We're the freest people in the world. We were not. We were the most locked up people in the world. We had no freedom of thought, no freedom of idea. Only what the party tells you to think, that's what you thought. That's what you thought. But a lot of war has been fought for freedom. Millions of lives have been laid down for freedom. We want freedom. Why is it so important to us? Because freedom is humanity's most natural, God-inherent desire. Love and freedom. Can I add love there? My message is not about love, but we want to be loved and we want to be free. Because if you're loved but you're not free, freedom is an amazing thing. If freedom allows you to be who you are. Freedom allows you to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you're going to be the most arrogant person in the world. You're either going to play false humility or you're going to play pride, and both of those are connected. Freedom allows you opportunity to know who God made you to be, and then freedom lets you be who God made you to be. In freedom, ideas are born. In freedom, creativity is born. In freedom, I can pursue my purposes that God created me for, and you can pursue your purposes that God created you for. Freedom. I want freedom. But in my life, can I be honest? I live in a free country. I'm a Christian. So Jesus has set me free from my sin. Then why am I so bound? Why do I feel so in shackles almost? Why do I feel like this anxiety won't let me live? Why do I feel like this fear is keeping me from pursuing what God has for me? Why don't I write that book that I've been talking about for so long? Why do I write that song? Why don't I draw that art, take that picture? Why don't I go into this park or place? Why don't I do that? If I am free, why am I stuck in the four walls of my house, new house, and now it's suffocating me? If I am free, because Apostle Paul said this, and he is the greatest Jewish philosopher as we know it, right? He wrote most of the New Testament. He used to be a hater of Christianity. He said, I know how to live in poverty, and I know how to live in the blessing. I want you to be able to say at the end of this series, I know how to live free. Amen. That's the purpose of this message. I want to know how to live free. Now, Pastor, give me an example. What are you talking about? Well, here's an example. And don't push it too far. If you take a piano and you put a 3-year-old and a 33-year-old, and they're both free to play that piano. Just go along with it, okay? I'm making it up. They're both free to play that piano. One, the 3-year-old child has never learned how to play piano yet. They've seen it for the first time, although they're free to play it. A 33-year-old is a professional piano player. They are both free to play the piano. Which one of them is going to enjoy it the most, and which one of them are you going to enjoy the most? They're both free to play that piano. Which one are you going to enjoy the most? That 33-year-old. Now the child, the 3-year-old might, you know, have fun, but eventually the child will get bored because the noises that it makes, even the 3-year-old doesn't like. At first, the child will have fun, blah, 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 blah. You know, my 3-year-old, 4-year-old now, I remember this moment, Dad, I want to play like you. And I'm not a good piano player, but I'm decent. But she just like, I said, you need to practice. I don't want to practice. I just want to play. Freedom is kind of like that. You have to learn how to be free. How to live free. United States is the most, for me anyway, I've been in many countries in the world. I grew up in a communist country in Eastern Europe. And United States for me is the most free country in the world. American dream, go and pursue it. And yet by dealing with people as a pastor, I've realized how many people, although they have the outward freedom, are bound on the inside. How many people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm bound by my depression. And I can't get out of it. United States, and this is not to hate United States or anything, but this is just a fact. I love this country. I would not want to live anywhere else in the world. Okay? So let's just say that. But I've realized by doing some research, you will find out that in United States, we use the most, we call them happy pills. Antidepressants, Prozac, and things like that. Why? If we're the most free nation in the world, and creativity comes out of freedom, you can be who you want to be comes out of freedom, then why do we need so much happy pills? Come on, somebody. Why do we need so much drugs to function? Because although we have the freedom, we don't know how to be free. We don't know how to live in freedom. And Christians are no different many times than non-Christians. Hallelujah. Somebody's praying in tongues over there. Paul says, don't pray in church in tongues. Do it at home. But no, kidding. You guys are welcome here. That's cool. But that was biblical what I said. Anyway, let's go back to freedom. So we have freedom, right? Don't know how to. Piano is there. But if you don't know how to play it, it's not going to bless you. And it's not going to bless those around you. And so I got tired of being free, having financially savings account. You know, because when you don't have a financial savings account, you could blame it on that. I'm not happy. I'm not really enjoying life because of my savings account. Having a beautiful family, having everything, blessing of God in every area of my life. I found myself in a big house, in a small room, trapped, suffocating, trying to get out and leave town. I'm talking to somebody. It's not just me, and it's not just me, and it's not just you. I know what you're going through. And so God began to teach me about freedom, how to live free. Let me tell you, for about 2 years now, I have not wanted to escape. So obviously, it's not last week that God set me free. It's been a couple of years now. And so today, we're going to start, and my message is called For Freedom. For freedom. Now, freedom is humanity's most natural, inherent, God-given desire. There's different types of freedom. There's national freedom. No nation wants to be in bondage to another nation. There is personal freedom. We don't want to be in bondage to anything. We were created to be free. There's spiritual freedom, and there is a religious freedom. I'm not going to talk about political freedom today. Or this series. I'm not going to talk about religious even freedom. You know what I want to talk about? Personal, spiritual freedom. Without happy pills. If possible. Amen. And without sitting on your back deck. In some states it's legal already. Being free. Oh. I'm going to hit that a little bit as well. No, I'm going to hit that as a point, not as a... You guys are... Thank God we're downtown. Can get away with more. This church always gets excited when I talk about that. And it's not even legal in this state. Guys, what are you doing? It's freedom. All right. You were created for freedom. Genesis 1:28 says this, watch this. Why is the freedom such a foundational thing for value to human life? Because God is free, you're made in His image. Okay? Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and govern it. In another translation, it says have dominion. Human beings were created to dominate something. Okay? It takes freedom to dominate. Now, we're not called to dominate other people. We're called to dominate an area of our life that God has given to us. If we don't know what area that is, we'll try to dominate and control other people. You're not called to dominate people. You're called to dominate an area. And you're called to be great in dominating your area. If you're called in business, you are called to dominate business and be the best at it. If you're called in ministry, you're called to dominate that area and be the best at it. If you're called to basketball, sports, LeBron James says this. He says, strive for greatness. He's called to dominate the sports of basketball. You are called to dominate an area, not people, an area. Mothers, your home is your area of dominance. To govern it, to dominate, and to govern something, you have to be free. God created every one of us to be free. Satan knows this, guys. He knows that if we are free, we can achieve so much. We can have so much creativity, inventions, and things like that. So you know what he does? He enslaves us, and we become antisocial, and we start hiding in our little closets, in our little TV rooms, in a little whatever it is, cars, where there's a whole world in front of us. We're hidden in a room in our big house that we have. That's not freedom. That's not freedom, to be locked up to an internet connection and watch things and not be able to stop. That's not freedom. It's not freedom when you can't get off your... It's not freedom. And Christ has come so we can be free. Freedom is yours. Satan always wanted you to be bound. Although he says he's more free than God. And I'm going to have a message on that in this series. Satan says... God doesn't want you to know that if you eat of this tree, you'll truly be free. So sometimes the devil offers you more freedom, but it's a false freedom. Don't listen to the Bible. That's going to enslave you. That's going to, you know, not allow you to do things. And God says, no, no, no. Actually, it's going to, if you listen to me, it's not going to enslave you. Because the ultimate goal of Satan is your slavery. Your bondage, your spiritual, and then your physical bondage. Your spiritual and your physical bondage. Listen to me. The central idea of Christianity is your freedom. Guys, the central idea of Christianity is your freedom. Last Sunday, I spoke a verse from Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. And in that verse, Jesus declares his mission, his vision for his ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. He's given me special power." And one of those things he said is to set the captives free. In Galatians chapter 5, let's put that on the screen, verse 1. It says this, "It is for," say it, "that Christ has set us free." That's confusing right there. How many of you understood that? It's not for pleasure. It's not for bondage. It's not trade one bondage for another. It is for, here's why I say it's a central idea of Christianity is your freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You know what yoke is? Yoke is when they take two oxen, two horses, and they put this wooden thing so they could be pulling together. It's a burden. God says, don't go under the burden into the slavery again. And we, even in the church, experience so much slavery. And God, Jesus said, "I have come to set the captives free." Like some people say, Jesus doesn't address slavery. What do you think this is? I have come to set the captives free. That's not just spiritual. That's physical. But his number one assignment is to change your spiritual. Because if you change, he changes your spirit, you will change your surrounding. Because you are the master of this planet. Jesus is not interested in changing the Roman Empire. Notice, he's interested in your heart. Because if he can change your heart, you will change your environment. You will change your house. You will change your community. So he starts there, not here. He starts on the inside, not from the outside. The change happens from the inside. Come on, somebody. Amen. So it is for freedom. It's for freedom. That's the central message of Christianity. When people think of Christianity, do they think that it's about freedom? No, they think it's about legalism. So who's wrong, Jesus or us? Or religious systems? Religious systems. Our religious system for thousands of years love to embondage people. They take you from the world bondage to the church bondage. And so now the world used to control you. Now the church controls you. That's not what Jesus came to do. He came to set you free. But because we don't know what it is, what freedom is, and how to stay free, and how to live free, guess what? Either the devil makes us in bondage, or even religious systems make us in bondage. Because we don't know that the central idea of Christianity, it is for freedom, that Christ has set us free. Wife, He wants you to be free. Wives, He wants you to be free. In your home, not walking on eggshells. He wants you to be free. At your work, He wants you to be free. In every area of your life, in your spirit, He wants you to be free. In your emotions, He wants you to be free. Because that's why He came, to set the captives free. Listen to me, the prison has been open. What are you still doing in a cell? The jail doors have been busted open when Jesus died on the cross and resurrected. What are you still doing in bondage? That's the series. Jesus said this, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's His goal. That's the goal, is to set us free. There are so many things that are trying to put us in bondage. And He came to set us free. Guys, in this series, this is an introduction sermon. I want you to be able to say, I know how to get free. I know how to live free. Like Paul says, I know how to be poor and I know how to be rich. I want you to be able to say, I know how to be free. Amen. 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 At the end of this series, I want you to be able to say, I know how to be set free. Now, let's open our Bibles to the key scripture for this message. And you're like, what? I thought we were done. Almost. 3 points. All right. Number one, John 6, 31 through 36. Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, you are, notice, they believe in Him, but they're not free. They believe in Him, but they're not free. Could that be you? I was. And if I'm not careful, I'll still find myself. Come on, somebody. It's one day away. If I'm not careful, if I don't fight for my freedom, if I don't stay free, stand my ground, freedom. He's always after my freedom, and He'll take what I'll give Him. The devil will take what you'll give him. So Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. So just believing doesn't make you a disciple of Jesus. It's what? It's remaining faithful to His teaching. That's what you guys come here today. But I hope this is not the only place you get teaching. I hope you get during the week. I mean, I listen to 5+ sermons a week. Every week. Sunday is not enough for me. I eat every day, 3 times a day or 4. Amen? And so I need spiritual food. Amen? Next verse. Next verse. Then He says, and you will know, say it, the truth. And the truth will set you free. Now, let me ask you a question. What is truth? Thank you. Your word is truth. But let's de-religious. Let's make it less religious. The word of God. Okay. What is the truth? It's an information that God Himself, who's truth, released upon this earth. Right? Now, truth is the information that God released upon this earth that has no corruption in it. His word, it says, is truth. Okay. Now, the problem is that anything on earth gets corrupted. And so what the world wants to do is wants to take the truth and just add a little bit of their own ideas into it. Amen? They say Christianity has to evolve. They say the Bible needs to change to fit our modern society. But if you know what the Bible says, it says this. Don't add to my word. Why? Because it's not truth anymore. If you add something or if you take something. If you preach only part of the Bible and you reject the rest of it, it's not truth. And corrupted truth will not set you free. Only the pure word of God will set you free. You will know. Now let's focus on the word know. I know many ladies in this church, but I only know one. Said amen. I know her now like nobody else knows her. And that's what it means to know the truth. It's the intimate relationship with that truth. Truth will set you free. Okay, let's keep reading. So truth, hold on a second, is information of God. Information that comes from God. Truth is information of God that comes from God. Anything else that comes to it, it corrupts it. It becomes a virus. Any of you here are into computers, like really good with a computer, maybe a programmer. Okay, one, yeah. If you write a program to do something, right? And it does it. And then you go online and Russians hack your computer. The Russians hack your computer and they put a virus in there. And now your program, your software, your hardware is not doing what it's supposed to do. Although most of the program is truth, now there's a little worm in there and it makes everything go bad. You know what I'm talking about. All of you had viruses on your computers. And they say MacBooks don't have viruses. Yes, they do. Ask my wife. She gets hacked by Russians a lot. I love you, baby. Amen. Watch this. Let's continue. But we are the descendants of Abraham, they said. So he's talking to the Jews. We're descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. Wrong. Are you for real, Mr. Pharisee? Notice Jesus doesn't even reply to that. What about slavery in Egypt? Did you forget about that? 400? Notice how they forgot about that, 30 years. What about slavery to Babylonians? Mr. Pharisee, did you forget about that? What about slavery to Assyrians? Did you forget about that? What about slavery to the Romans who's under occupation you are in now at the time Jesus was talking about? We've never been slaves. You're a liar, dude. And what about slavery to sin? You all know your sin. I know my sin. We've never been slaves to anyone. That's a lie. Sir, the test has determined that is a lie. What do you mean you will be set free? Now, I agree with them on this one. What do you mean you will be set free? Pastor, you're talking about freedom. What do you mean by that? And watch what he says. Here's the answer. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave. Everyone who sins is a slave because sin is not a natural entity in your being. It's a foreign entity. It's a virus. We were created without sin. And then Eve was deceived and Adam was deceived. And so now sin entered into the world and with sin, death. Now, some of you are like, Pastor, don't preach about sin. It's not cool anymore to preach about sin. Be fluffy and everything in the church. But if Jesus talks about sin, we have to talk about sin. Now, what is sin? Sin is missing the mark. It's falling short of something. Imagine me trying to jump on this step and falling short. That would be sin. Now, here's why sin is, God hates sin. Not for sin's sake. Like it doesn't add anything to him or subtract anything from him when you sin. The only reason why God hates sin is because it hurts you. If your child grabbed a knife and started cutting themselves, wouldn't you get angry? Wouldn't you rip that knife out of their hand and say, no. The child doesn't understand you and says, why are you putting limits on me, man? Why are you putting limits on me? Because those are not limits. Those are guardrails. They're there to protect you so you don't get hurt. Now I got to admit, sin is fun. Isn't it? Sin is fun in the beginning. Guys, sin is awesome. Yeah. Telling that lie feels good in the moment, right? You don't have to deal with the problem. You don't have to deal with that problem. But guess what? It always kicks you in the... Sin always is fun. That escaping for a moment from your problems with an addiction of some sort, that's fun. It feels good for an hour or so or two. And then it takes away your family. It takes away your job. And then it messes up with your teeth. And then it messes up with your mind. And then it messes up with your sleep. And then it messes up with your physical health. Sin is fun, but it hurts you. So why does God even care about me? Here's the proof that God cares for you. He says, don't sin because it's going to hurt you, and I love you. I am a loving father. I'm an Abba. I'm the daddy, and I love you, and that's why. He's not limiting you. He's not taking away your freedom. Sin is a foreign entity in your being. It does steal. It steals your years. It steals your best years. I have a relative who's spending 50 years in prison. He got there when he was 20. Sin robs, takes away. That's why you should hate sin. Not the people, but the sin. Just like you hate the virus on your computer. Don't hate the computer, hate the virus. If there's a virus on your computer, don't grab your computer and start smacking it, you know, on the floor. No, it's not going to do anything. There's a virus. That's what sin is. But here's a proof that God loves you so much. He sent Jesus so he can free us from sin. But Pastor, we're still sinning as Christians. Yes, but we have a way out. We can choose not to. We can ask God to help us be free from it. I am a witness that God can set you free from your prison of anxiety. Because he set me free. And my mouth is filled with praise today. And your mouth could be filled with praise, not anxiety and negative thinking and negative speaking. Amen. He can set you free from your fears. He can put your feet on a solid rock. That's what he's here to do. Somebody. He's not against you. Listen. He's not against you. He's for you. I just like, I'm overwhelmed right now by the goodness of God. I'm just overwhelmed because I feel like I'm preaching to myself. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we finish reading? Verse 35. A slave to sin is not a permanent member of the family. Although you were created to live as in God's family, sin will separate you. Makes you a temporary resident. But a son. And you know you're sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ now. And listen to the promise to the sons and daughters. But a son is a part of the family. If that doesn't make you shout, I don't know.
Forever.
Forever. Forever. Forever. If you're a son, if you're a daughter, it's forever. I feel His Spirit in this place. It's forever. It's what can separate us? 36. Oh, I love this. It's like a climax of the whole message. And if the Son sets you free, you are truly free.
Amen.
You are truly free. Jesus makes the most amazing claim in history. Something that we have been, in our governments, in our social justice warriors, have been fighting for years, hundreds and thousands of years. He says, I can give you freedom. I remember Mandela, what's his name? Nelson Mandela said, although I was in prison for 27 years, I was never imprisoned here. You can put somebody to prison, but if they're free, you can't take that freedom away. In 2 Timothy, let's put that scripture right away. Paul says, I'm in prison for the gospel, and because I preach this good news, I'm suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. God wants to give you freedom that cannot be chained. That's the kind of freedom I want. My freedom doesn't come from making more money, from saving more money, from having better things. I've realized that living in a bigger house, because a bigger house can suffocate. God wants to give me the freedom that cannot be chained. And that's the kind of freedom I want today. I'm old enough to say I don't want the cookies and the fluff. I want the freedom. I want to be set free. Hallelujah. Now, He gives us a spiritual freedom. Point number two is He gives us a spiritual freedom. And no matter where you are, He can find you. Paul was on the road to Damascus. Jesus met him and set him free there. A woman, Samaritan woman, with five husbands and a boyfriend. He met her at the well and set her free at the well. Can He really set me free where I'm at? I'm on drugs right now, Pastor. I just got high before I got here. He can set you free no matter where you're at. A woman was caught in adultery, brought in the center of town, and they were about to stone her. And Jesus sets her free right in that courtyard. Rocks in front of her, ready to fly. Peter was fishing on a boat. And Jesus came and set him free from materialism and gave him something greater. A thief on a cross, hanging at the right side or the left, I don't know. Jesus sets him free while he is on the cross. Don't tell me that God can't reach to my level. Don't tell me that God can come to you where you are. To you, where you think you are, to your thinking ability. He can come to a child and He can come to anybody. High IQ, low IQ. Good news of freedom is for everybody. It's for you. He can find you where you are. Now there's two ways He sets us free. And this is what we've learned through these scriptures in John. Two ways He sets us free. Number one is through the truth. Let's put John 8:32 again. You will know the truth. And what? So how does He set us free? Through the knowledge of the truth. That's why you can't just come to church and this be the only truth that's spoken to you. You got to open your own Bible. We're not Catholics. We're not going to tell you, although we have a lot of Catholics here. All right? But we allow you to read the Bible. You don't need a priest to read the Bible for you. You can do it for yourself. Amen. Amen. So open the Bible, even if it's Catholic. It's the same. Open it. It's cool. It's cool. God wants you to open the Bible and read it. Know the truth. I have personally seen people, as I'm preaching the truth, Be set free. One day there was a woman in the front row sitting, young woman, and as I was preaching a message, she started twitching. She was not on drug and she was not crazy. But as I was preaching something began to happen with her. She became sweaty and red. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, as a pastor, I see things. I keep an eye on everything, you know. And so, and I was like, what's going on with her? And I'm preaching and preaching and preaching. And at the end of the message, she comes up to me and says, Pastor, I've been set free. What you were preaching was God was doing and getting rid of out of my... See, when the truth comes in, it's like filling a cup. With the truth, the lies have to come out. And that's what happened to her. It does through the Word. The Word has the power. Word is, let me say it in our language. The information of God has life. It's not the Word of God like we think. It's an information has power. It has energy with it. It's a double-edged sword. It cuts. It cuts out. It does surgery. So when I'm preaching sometimes, you'll feel God doing surgery in your heart. And you can get mad at me and say, I can't believe he's touching me. He knows what I'm going through. No, not necessarily. I'm just preaching generally. I never preach to one person. I preach generally. And so, but God can take my words and use it to heal you. And to do surgery on you. And to set you free. So be ready. In this coming year, be ready. As you hear the word, it will begin to set you free. Because the truth, the information of God will begin to set you free. Now, there's another way that God sets us free. And that's John 8:36. This is the second way. The first way is through information, the truth. The second way, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. I believe those two work together. But sometimes, there's no time to learn the information. When Jesus encountered a demon-possessed man in a country of Gadarene, he was so crazy, so full of demons, he had a legion of demons in him. There was no time for him to learn the Bible. There was no time for him to go to seminary or Bible school or listen to a Pastor Alex message. He needed, plus his mind wasn't able. Sometimes the addiction is so strong, not able to break away from it. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you're so emotionally bound, you read the Bible and it's just words. So what you need at that moment is the Son. You know who the Son is? Jesus. If the Son of God said, if Jesus sets you free, you need an encounter. Remember a woman who had issue of blood? Remember? Going to Bible school is not going to heal her. Now it could, but she needed an immediate touch. She was living in this with this disease for a long time, or whatever sickness for a long time. But she did this. She touched. She had an encounter. Encounter. Let me show you. Encounter. Jesus would often touch people and they would be healed. He would often, in his presence, demons would flee. If you've been listening to the word of God for a long time, but you're still not free, maybe you need to get prayed for. Maybe you need an encounter. Maybe that depression won't let go because you need other people to stand there with you and pray for you. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Now don't go into extreme and say that's the only way God delivers. No, God delivers through both of those. Because once he sets you free in your mind, he expects you to go and know the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, the devil will tell you and feed you lies. And so there's two ways. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what you're hearing today. Some of you are getting freed. And the second, if you have an encounter with the Son of God. The thief on the cross didn't have time to learn the Bible. He had an encounter. He looked at Jesus and said, forgive me. And Jesus says, today you will be free. And at that moment, the man became free. Paul didn't have time to understand everything. Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. Woman at the well didn't have time to understand. A woman caught in adultery didn't have time to understand. It's that encounter with Jesus.